read down through the whole chapter to verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 beginning. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Whereof, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever.
Thank you, Brother Timothy, for that reading, and thanks to all of you. Thank you all very much for this invitation to come and to be with you here in this, as Brother Bill said in the prayer, and we prayed in this season that we are starting, embarking upon a couple of months of gospel preaching all throughout June and July. And I know that all of you in this area look forward to that every year, and we do too. Everywhere that we go, people speak of very highly of all of the gospel meetings that you all have and the services in this area that you participate in, and the encouragement that you are in the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate so very much the opportunity to be here with you at Taylor's Crossroad. My first visit with you, and I'm so happy to be with you, even though I've met many of you over the years in various places, and we have communicated in various ways over the years. I'm indeed thankful to be with you, and I look forward to all of these services that we have scheduled throughout this week, and all the visits that we have planned in your homes and various places. And I want you to know that should you have someone here in the community, in the neighborhood, anywhere that you would like to have visited, or in any way that we can help out and go and see someone, we'd be more than happy to do that. I love to stay busy, and all throughout this week I am at your disposal and willing to go and to assist and to help and to sit down and for us to be able to work for the Lord all throughout this series of studies together and worship services together all throughout this week. Just write down, if you would, anyone's name, or tell Brother Denson. I'll be staying there. Brother Timothy and I will be staying with him this week, and we look forward to that opportunity to be with Brother Denson and for us to travel throughout the area and to be able to be here with you. In our reading together here today, I would like for us to think about the kind of people that we ought to be. Because Peter tells us that we ought to be thinking about the manner of persons that we ought to be as we live here upon this earth, as we live our lives, our holy conversation, our manner of life in which that we live here, both in the ways in which that we talk, in the things in which that we do, in the places in which that we go, the lives that we live all throughout our lifetime as children of God, thinking about all the things that Peter points out to us that are going to take place. And we certainly see all of that, and we realize that we don't have long at the longest, none of us do, according to nature. And also that we see the sinful condition in which that this world is in, and the ungodliness of those that are around about us, and the lack of respect and love for God that exists in the world today. And so Peter causes us to pause and to think, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That we would think together for these few minutes this morning about the kind of people that we ought to be. I'll go ahead and mention a couple of the sermons that we have in mind for this week. This evening, Lord willing, we'll talk about how that we serve a jealous God. Our God is a jealous God. And Lord willing, then tomorrow evening we will talk about Jesus loves me. And on Tuesday evening, oh, how I need Jesus. And that we'll think about those three lessons as we get closer to them and be thinking about the things that we will study together. One of the things that we need to realize, as Peter tells us in the first part of this chapter, is that we need to be mindful people. He points out that I want to stir up your minds. We need to be mindful people. We need to have our minds stirred up. We need to be reminded regularly about things that God expects of us and things that He wants us to do as we live here upon this earth, the kind of people that He would have us to be. And He says, I'm going to stir you up by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful, that we need to keep in our minds the words, as He tells us here, that have been spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, that we might be mindful of these. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons why that we enter into this season of gospel meetings throughout the area and around about us, is one of the things that is on the list of things that are to be accomplished by these gospel meetings, is to have brought to our memory, have brought to our minds the things that we need to be mindful of and need to be thoughtful of. Friends, we're living in a time when it is very easy for our minds to be off on something else. Things that are important, yes. But as a result, sometimes we cheat ourselves out of the times that we ought to be spending and the amount of time that we ought to be spending thinking about why the prophets of old and thinking about the commandments that have been written unto us by the apostles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Peter tells us here. We need to be mindful. And one of the things that he tells us in this chapter and calls to our thoughts is that we ought to be mindful of the second coming of Christ. That we need to be mindful of this, and we need to be on the lookout for Jesus coming again. When things get so terrible, and I know that they have, here in this land in which we live in, that oftentimes we find ourselves saying, "Where art thou, O Lord?" and looking up steadfastly towards heaven with anticipation of the coming of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Christ. We realize now, perhaps more than ever before in our lives, that it was not meant for us to be here forever, and that we really don't want to even be here forever. Now, I realize that sometimes little children may look at that, or young people may look at that and say, "Well, that seems like a strange way of looking at things." But, beloved, we realize that there is something better. We realize that even though that we love this land that we thank God for, that we love this country in which that we're blessed to be citizens of, and even though that we are thankful for the freedoms that we do have, we still realize with all of the troubles and difficulties and all of the shamefulness and ungodliness that goes on in this world, we're not meant to stay here forever, nor would we want to stay here forever. That there is a better place, and so we want to be mindful of the second coming of Christ. We need to be mindful also that when Jesus comes again and we go before the judgment seat of Christ, there's not going to be a second chance. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27, the writer tells us that as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. No mention there whatsoever of any second chance. No mention there whatsoever of any period of time in which that we can rearrange things from the time that we die until the time of the judgment day. For as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There's not going to be any second chance. There's going to be a day of judgment. That's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, as the writer points out to us here of the judgment day. The judgment day is coming, and we need to be mindful of it. We're not as serious minded about the judgment day as we ought to be. We're not nearly as frightful of, or as considerate of, or as scared about the judgment day as I fear that we ought to be, and take the seriousness of it wide to heart with us. I remember on Thursdays when I was just a kid, we had spelling tests on Thursdays. And, you know, I'll tell you what, on Wednesday night, I never did learn how to spell, but I memorized 21 words on Wednesday night. And on Thursday, I could close my eyes and see all 21 of them. I was serious about making a good grade in spelling. You see, I knew that every Thursday it was going to happen, and I made arrangements for that. Well, beloved, the judgment day is coming, and folks are not scared at all. People don't seem to be the least bit concerned about the judgment day that is coming. The Bible warns us, Paul said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to give an account. We're going to give a reckoning that all of us, Paul said in Romans 14, verse 12. So then every one of us, no one is going to be left out of that. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You're going to do that, and I'm going to do that. I need to be mindful of that. I need to be thinking about that more regularly. I need to give consideration of the fact that Christ is coming. There's not going to be a second chance, and the judgment day is going to be here. And then every one of us are going to give an account of our deeds, whether they be good or whether they be bad. The Bible tells me then begins eternity. The Word of God in the book of Matthew 25, in the words of Jesus, as he paints for us with the instruments there of beautiful paint, he draws the picture, he paints in the colors of the day of judgment. And you can visualize it by the eye of faith. You can see this painting of the day of judgment. For he says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left. Then he tells us in verse 34, that the king will say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he talks about all that they had done and how that this was going to happen. And then he talked about those that were on his left hand and how that he'd say to those that were on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So, friends, we're going to be on the left or we're going to be on the right. Are we as mindful of the judgment day and of the beginning of eternity and where we're going to be? In verse 46, he summed it up by saying, These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We're going to be in one of those two places in eternity. And that place of fire and brimstone is going to last just as long as that place of bliss, heavenly bliss. We like to think of it as being eternal. We like to think of heaven as being everlasting. But beloved, let us realize also that that place of torment is going to be a place of everlasting torment. He said, Here the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world in verse 34. And the fact that this is going to be our reward, but there's also going to be a time of punishment. The Bible tells us in Revelation 14 and verse 13. He says, And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. In chapter 22, he tells us at verse 14, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Here's going to be, in eternity, a place of reward. There's going to be a place of eternal bliss, but there's also going to be a place of punishment. That's what he was talking about in verse 41 of Matthew 25. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Everlasting fire, he says. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, to you that are troubled, rest with us, Paul says, beginning at verse 7. He says, When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed with his holy angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. It's real, beloved. And we need to be mindful of that. What manner of persons ought we to be? We ought to be more considerate. We ought to be more mindful of what life is really all about, and that we're not meant to be here forever, that the time of our departure is coming. We also need to realize, as godly people here upon this earth, the kind of people that we ought to be is a faithful man and a faithful woman in the service of the Lord. You know, Brother Denson and I were talking on the porch, I believe this morning, about how that if a man never came to see his wife, but maybe once every 6, 8, 10 months, could he be considered a faithful husband? By choice, he decided to stay away from her and to stay away from his family. Would he be considered a faithful father? Would he be considered a faithful husband? Well, how could we consider ourselves faithful members of the church? How could we consider ourselves faithful servants of God if we never called upon his name but every 6 or 8 or 10 months? If we never attend the services of the church to worship our Father which art in heaven but every 6, 8, or 10 months, how could we be considered a faithful member of the church? Well, you know, a lot of times that's what's written on people's obituary. When they pass away and you're reading the obituary or you see it there in the newspaper, it may say on there, he was a faithful member of the such and such Church of Christ. You know, people can say anything they want to say when they write those obituaries. But we want it to be the truth, don't we? And we want to be faithful servants of God. We want to be steadfast and unmovable. As Paul said as he wrote to the brethren there at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you know, when we're always abounding in the work of the Lord, that doesn't mean that we have to do some great thing in the eyes of human beings. Because God has never asked anything unreasonable of any of us. He's only asked for our reasonable service. Are we faithful? He's never asked anything unreasonable of us. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 5, Paul said, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, the people in Colossae, beholding the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Isn't it wonderful that people can hear about and know assuredly of your faithfulness and your steadfastness in Christ Jesus our Lord? Yes, it is. The Bible tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, verse 25. That we want to try to cultivate times in which that we can be an encouragement to one another. And we never want to stop assembling. We never want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If you're driving down the road and you're out in the country somewhere, way away from homes, and you see a little dog sitting there beside the road, my youngest daughter, she'd probably want to stop and get that. She'd say, that dog has been forsaken. There's a difference in a forsaken dog and a neglected dog, isn't there? We can see that too. And the same thing is true with every aspect of life. So often it is that many times we are neglectful about things, but then after a while somebody say, you know, I quit the Lord. Did you ever hear anybody say that? I quit the church, or I quit the Lord. Those are sad words to hear. When someone says, I have quit the Lord never quits us. Someone says, I have left the Lord. The Lord never leaves us. He's right where we left him. He's waiting on us to come back. We leave the Lord. Yes. Many times that happens in the lives of people. But what the Bible teaches us is that we're to be faithful people. That's what husbands are supposed to be. That's what wives are supposed to be. That's what families are supposed to be to one another. And we're talking about a spiritual husband, a spiritual wife. We're talking about a spiritual king and spiritual citizens in that kingdom. We're talking about children of God and God the Father and our elder brother Jesus Christ. Let's not be unfaithful. Let's realize that we're to be faithful and true, and that we're not to grow weary in well-doing. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, to not grow weary in well-doing. All of us, as members of the body of Christ, it's easy for us to grow weary in well-doing, but we're not to do that. We're to realize that in due season that we'll be able to reap if we faint not. That's what Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 9. And John said in the beginning of the book of Revelation, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life, there in the latter part of verse 10 in Revelation chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. That Brother Timothy read there a few moments ago. He points out to us of the great need that we have of knowing that we know these things, and seeing you know these things before, Paul said. Peter said, I know that you're aware of these things. But he says, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Faithful members of the church, we need to always be on guard. We need to always heed the warning. That's not just for the other fellow. That's for me too. What kind of people ought we to be? In all holy conversation or manner of life, sometimes we're afraid of that word holy. Sometimes we avoid that word holy. All holy conversation. A holy manner of life. Godly, holy people. We need to be holy people. We need to be people that are separated for the service of God. Set apart for the service of God. That's how that we are to be holy people upon this earth. Jesus Christ made the church that way. In Ephesians chapter 5. Paul pointed out to us about the church. He was talking about the church, but he used a good illustration. And he said, you need to listen to it also. And he talked about how that the church, how that Christ made the church holy. There at verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word. A holy church, godly people, made up of godly people, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Holy and without blemish. Friends, that's how that the Lord made the church. And so every one of us need to look at ourselves and make sure that we're going to fit into this process, that he might present it, and we're a part of it, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And then he goes ahead to teach that men ought to also love their wives as their own bodies. And he said, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now listen to verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. We need to be holy people. And if we're holy people, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. In Romans 12, beginning verse 1, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Now, beloved, that's hard for any of us. That's hard for children. That's hard for little boys, little girls, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged adults, and older people. That's not easy for anybody. Because one of the things that it seems to be a natural part of our craving is that we cater to and become like those that are around us. And he says that's not how it's supposed to be with Christian people. You're to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's right between the ears and right behind the eyeballs is where it all takes place. But it doesn't stay there. Then it is revealed through the life that we live, the words we speak, the things we do, the places we go, how we live our lives upon this earth. We're to present our bodies a living, holy sacrifice. And then the writer of the Hebrew letter said in chapter 12 and verse 14, like this, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We must be holy people. People ought to be able to notice the difference. People ought to be able to see when we go through the checkout line that there is some difference in us. Somebody says, I don't know that that's important for you to be a Christian on the outside, long as you're a Christian on the inside. Well, that's what the old devil would like for us to think. But the Bible tells us that if we're holy on the inside, that it is going to be able to be seen because it begins here in our mind. And then our bodies, we can present our bodies a living, holy sacrifice. Follow after holiness. Not just inwardly, but outwardly as well, because in doing so, we are spotless people. We're spotless individuals. He said there in 2 Peter chapter 3, as we read earlier, but be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That means it's a daily chore. It is something that we have to work on continually. Making sure that we are blameless, making sure that we are holy, and making sure that we are without spot and blemish. What if the Lord comes and we're caught in a condition and a predicament where that we are living a life of blame and we're living a life of sinfulness and unholiness and ungodliness? Then we would not be holy. We would not be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing that he describes in Ephesians 5 and verse 27. Would we be? Yes, we're to be living a holy life. We're to live that kind of life that is becoming of the gospel. Becoming of the gospel. That's the way it's worded in Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. As he said in chapter 1 and verse 27, only let your conversation, that word conversation there includes more than just what we say. It includes all aspects of our life, of our manner of life. Sometimes we think, well, it's just what we say. Well, what we say is important. People listen to what we say. Grandchildren hear what grandma says. And what grandpa says. And it doesn't matter if you are in the backyard somewhere behind the barn trying to start an old weed eater. What we say is, yes, important. And how we say it. We need to make sure that we talk like godly people. We need to make sure that we look like godly people. That we live our life like godly people. And Lord willing, we'll talk a little bit more about that this evening because we're serving a jealous God. Only let your conversation, Paul said, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Don't we want to live our life so that we won't bring any kind of shame or reproach upon the church of the Lord. Yes, we do. We wouldn't want to do anything. My dad's been passed away now for 10 years. 10 years ago, 2006, he passed away. I wouldn't want to do anything to bring any shame to his name. Would you want to your dad? Maybe been gone longer than that. You see, we don't want to bring any kind of shame or reproach to our family name. Nor do we want to bring any kind of shame or reproach upon the church of the Lord. So people are observing us, and as far as we're concerned, we represent the church to them out here in this world. I worked for IBM for 37 years. I represented IBM every business day of those 37 years. And I took it seriously. And you see, I'm married to my wife. This year makes 50 years. I don't want to bring any shame on her or any of her family. We've been together 50 years this year. We belong to the Lord. We are in His body. We belong to the church. And friends, we don't want to do anything to bring any kind of shame or reproach upon the church. Because we represent the church. When we're down at Walmart shopping, we represent the church. You may be the only church member they meet all day. And you represent the church while you're there. You represent the church. You represent Jesus Christ. That's why we are Christians. That's not just a word. That is actually a description of the kind of person you are. I'm a Christian man. Or I'm a Christian woman. I'm a Christian. It doesn't really matter if you're a man or a woman. We're Christians. There's neither male nor female, neither bond nor free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. But here's the point. You are a man or you are a woman. So what kind of man are you and what kind of a woman are you? It's not just a Sunday morning thing either. It's every day of our lives. Holy, separate, set apart. That's the manner of person we ought to be. Busy. We'll close, and the lesson is yours on that point. All of us need to be workers in the vineyard of the Lord, doing what we can do. No one is asked to do more than they can do. If you ever feel like that you're just overwhelmed and you've got more to do in the Lord's work than you can possibly do, ask the brethren for some help. And we'll all pitch in and help one another. Let's never let anybody out here struggle and drown because they don't have any help. Let's all help each other. Let's be there for one another. Let's help in the Lord's work. Because Paul always describes it like this. We then, as workers together, we're all workers together in the vineyard of the Lord, doing our part. You do your part. I do my part. We all do a little bit. None of us are asked to do more than we can do, which is our reasonable service. And so we all pitch in. We all do our little bit. We stay busy in the vineyard of the Lord. Paul said it's so important that we need to redeem the time, Ephesians 5, verse 15, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. We need to be busy, helping, work for the Lord, doing what we can every day. All throughout this week, let's all pitch in. We'll all do everything that we can together. And we'll all try to make this as a successful meeting, gospel meeting, as we possibly can have it be, with the Lord's help. And we'll all work together to make it so. So that at the end of the week, we will all have been built up in the faith as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then also to have encouraged someone in the community and neighborhood to come and to hear the gospel. That's never heard it before, perhaps. or yet have not obeyed. If you could should be here this morning and not a Christian, I hope we've said something. I hope we've said something to cause you to want to be the kind of person that all of us ought to want to be. What manner of person ought ye to be? That's serious. That's a serious thought that Peter places before us. And we start this meeting thinking about that. What manner of person ought I to be as I live here upon this earth? And if you're here and you're not yet a Christian, we urge you to become one. You've heard the Word of God, no doubt, many, many times. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your past sins. Confess right now before this audience today, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. When you obey that gospel plan of salvation, Bible plan of salvation, that other folks have obeyed in the thousands, all down through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and live a faithful Christian life until death, heaven is waiting and can be our home in the after a while. If you've strayed away from the Lord and you've not been faithful and you're not ready to leave here and you know it, don't leave here unprepared. Come back to the church, repenting, asking the church to pray with you and for you that God would forgive you. Would you come while we stand together and while we sing?